to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And we are once again your camp counselors going to Camp Spooky Town. Name TBD because that sounds kind of lame, but we're going, it's summer horror. We can't not talk about some sort of horror in the summer. I think
happy
it's one
Summer-ween.
Of the Summer-ween, exactly. Just whatever excuse we have to make it about Halloween. We're here for it.
Did I tell you that I did, in fact, remember why Summerween is June 22nd?
No, but I have a theory, so can you tell me?
It's based off a cartoon show from the Disney Channel called Gravity Falls.
Oh, that was not going to be my guess. Why? What do they have to do with it?
They do, like, a town festival. Yeah, that's Summerween. I can't remember the plot of the show, like, what the premise of the show was. I watched it, like, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, this kid goes to stay with his grandpa in this tiny town in what I assume is the Pacific Northwest for the summer. And it's a cute little cartoon. And in that town, it's, like, it's over a scientific research facility or something. They're monster hunters. I don't remember. But for some reason, there's a lot of, like, paranormal stuff that happens in this town. And one of the episodes is Summerween.
That sounds like a town I would love to live in, to exactly. be honest with you. Like,
it was
I would
really cute. I remember the show being really cute, but I don't think I ever finished it. I just was probably sick one day, and I was like, this feels cozy. And
you're
it was.
Yeah, you always go through that kind of cozy horror phase, I think. Between the two of us, that's definitely your vibe.
Yeah. So I figured it out.
I thought it was going to have something to do with, like, the solstice or something. Because, like, the first day of summer was the 20th. So yeah. I was like, well, maybe they're going off of that. But I like yours better.
That's why the fictional town of Gravity Falls chose to do that.
Yeah, basically. Well, this, we had a hard time. We were going to read something else, for this episode. You don't even want to go into it?
Oh, no, it was just an utter and complete failure.
Oh, it was, unfortunately, which sucks because it could have been a really fun, read, except it was bordering really close to me for R.L. Stine when we did that. And I was just like, we can't do that to ourselves again. So we decided to reread The Brightlands by John Frame, which was ultimately a way better choice. There's a lot I forgot, mostly, and obviously we'll get into it in our spoiler chat, but I forgot how, I don't know what the right word is, because I want to say vulgar, and it's not that, it's just there's like the way they talk in this small Texas town. I'm like, holy cow, it is just so, I guess, maybe insensitive or uncensored.
But, you know, I don't know. When I think of Texas.
Of course, like, this is what you think of. It's very on par, but it's just like.
And it makes sense because that's, like, one of the messages that's being delivered. That's why, like, the main character, part of the reason why he left. And it's kind of like the underpinning for, like, the whole book. But, yeah, it's been a long time since even, like, in a book where that's being addressed that I've heard the F slur, like, a really long time.
Oh,
and, like,
my God, yes.
The first time it happened, I was like, no.
Like, whoa. Or just, like, how they were describing certain things. Like, oh, yeah, you know, he's, you know, has his finger in some other girl. And I was like, who says that? Like, that's an actual phrase we say
teenagers.
As a human? Oh, my God. Yeah, teenage boys, I guess. But
I'm also just so soft in my old age. Like,
I've realized that too, same.
I'm so, like, soft. I'm just like, oh, that's yucky. I would never.
Exactly. That's a yucky. Gross. No, thank you.
I'm like a, I don't know how to describe it, but like it's just a soft little Karen that doesn't want to speak to your manager.
A soft little Karen.
Like, when it comes to stuff like that, I'm like, oh, that's, I clutch my pearls.
Yes, holy cow. So we're going to have a lot to talk about because I'm excited to get to the end of this things that I kind of vaguely remember, because I do remember being very impressed with the story.
Yeah.
Is where it went.
I remembered absolutely nothing. So re-listening to it, it was like reading it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it still held up for me, but we'll, you know, talk about it. Next
yes.
time. Just kidding. Will. It's a mystery if I liked it or not.
Oh, no. Find out. Can you imagine we picked a book to reread that we both hated?
The second time around?
Yeah, exactly. No, just like in general. We're like, eh, no.
We hated this book. Time to reread it.
Time to reread it. So in October, we'll reread Halloween Party. Anyways, no, I'm kidding. I never want to read that again. Ever. But we're going to talk about, of course, so we tried to make this like a summer horror thing. And of course, when we did that last year, we kind of used up some of our good picks, I feel.
Yeah, we did like a back to school or like Dark Academia episode. And yes, every single book almost, or like, you know, throughout the last 11 months of doing this podcast, I have talked about every book that I would talk about in this episode.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm going to talk about one in particular that we've talked about 1,000 times, but you have to bring it up. But other than that, I'm here to just piggyback off of your recommendations.
My picks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I tried to find some stuff that a lot of these I haven't actually read. Only one of them I've read. And I kind of just picked the ones that gave me a summer feeling based on the description for whatever reason. So this is like vague wisps of summer, not totally like summer slashers like we were hoping, but still horror. So my first one, which I'm so mad I haven't finished reading this because I got a copy from the library. I was reading it at a birthday party where I only knew the girl being celebrated. I didn't know anyone else. And so I was just sitting there by myself, like, because I was able to get it from the library right then and there. So I kind of read like a chapter or two and I really loved it. And now I have a nice copy from Aardvark because shout out, they did a really cool design there. But it's The Reformatory by Tana Rivdu.
Yeah.
Yes. I hear nothing but good things about this one. Everyone loves it. Breaks everyone's heart. And it, from what I read, was really good. So we are in Gracetown, Florida. It's June 1950. So probably already not, you know, the best time to be alive. And we follow 12-year-old Robbie Stevens Jr. And he's sentenced to 6 months at the Gracetown School for Boys, which is a reformatory because he kicked the son of the largest landowner in town in defense of his older sister, Gloria. So he's literally sent away for kicking someone. So he goes into, you know, the description says, so begins Robbie's journey further into the terrors of the Jim Crow South and the very real horror of the school they call the reformatory. So he has a talent for seeing ghosts, or in the book they call them haints, but what once was a comfort to him after the loss of his mother has become a window to the truth of what happens at the reformatory. Boys forced to work to remediate their so-called crimes have been going missing, but the haints Robbie sees are they hint at worse things. So through his friends Redbone and Blue, he's learning not just the rules of how to survive. Oh, sorry. He's learning not just the rules, but also how to survive. So we have his story, but then on the other end, we have Gloria, who's rallying every family member and connection in Florida to try to get Robbie out before it's too late. So it's a very, basically like, it's historical fiction, but I hear lots of good things. And yeah. I really, really want to read it.
Yeah, this is also on my list. And I also have the special Aardvark edition, but it is long. And I've been so bad with my reading lately that I know it's dark and I have to be like in the right mindset to read it. So it just keeps staring at me from my little shelf.
Well, especially, okay, so this could be a good segue into, and I think you recommended it recently on another episode, but I know you just read it, which was the When the Reckoning Comes.
Oh boy.
And that book is very short. There's the one scene, which I know you know because you texted it to me, that lives rent-free in my mind. I will never forget that scene in my life.
A nightmare.
And I'm kind of wondering if the reformatory will be like that, but just very extended, you know, just because of them dealing with a lot of, you know, the racial tension and the mistreatment and all the terrible shit that, oops, all the stuff that happened.
Stuff.
Yeah, I'll bleep that one out. You know, that happened. So I could see that, but I think I'm also in a mood where, you ever have those moods where you're like, I just want like a really good long book that I can just spend some time with. And I think that's kind of where I'm at after I finish a bingey thriller, because I kind of just need something to turn my brain off. And then I'll enjoy
I bet horrors. They do have like a similar vibe, that like Southern Gothic, like really deep storytelling. Yeah. And When the Reckoning Comes is a short book, but I still felt like it was a really deep storytelling. It was. Like, mm-hmm. very, like, you get into the friendship between these group of people and, like, what happened to them to make that group kind of fall apart, and then coming back together for this wedding at a plantation that had something to do, like, that location had something to do with that friend group falling apart. And, yeah. like, you still get very deep into these characters, and it's only, like, 275 pages long or something like that. Yeah. Maybe not even that.
No, it's so short.
But, yeah, that's a great book. I wish I had – I think it's – is it LaTanya McQueen
is the author? It is. Yeah. Let me see. Yeah, LaTanya McQueen. Yeah, everyone needs to go read that, like, immediately. It also does fit the theme because it is, like, summer – and, you know, the plantation, so it does kind of have that. It does fit the theme of the episode, and even if it didn't, you should still go read it because it just should be required reading.
Yeah, it's really point. It's really good.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go to one that I have read. So this is, I think I'm stretching it further, but here's the thing: when I also think of summer, I kind of think of, like, maybe, like, fun, dark fairy tales that could take place in the summer when you're bored and, you know, you have nothing else to do. So one of those is Small Favors by Aaron A. Craig. I remember when this came out a few years ago, it was being compared to Midsummer, which I love that movie so much. So I was, like, already into it. Not exactly the same vibe, but it is very much like a reminder of, like, hey, don't give your name to anything ever because names have power. And if you do it, you're going to be, like, cursed to do a fae king's bidding or something. You never know. So, and also the cover's beautiful. Did you read this one?
I did not read it. I own it, I haven't read it yet. It's on, it's on my cart.
On your cart. So, we follow Ellery Downing, who lives in the quiet town of Amity Falls, which is already, like, not the best name for a town if you're going to live there, but they don't know that yet. And they're in the Black Spire Mountain Range, which is 5 narrow peaks stretching into the sky like a grasping hand, of course, bordered by a nearly impenetrable forest from which the early townsfolk fought off the devils in the woods. To this day, visitors are few and rare, but when a supply party goes missing, some worry that the monsters that once stalked the region have returned. As fall turns to winter, more strange activities plague the town that point to a tribe of devilish and mystical creatures who promise to fulfill the residents' deepest desires, however grand and impossible, for just one small favor. But their true intentions are far more sinister, and Ellery finds herself in a race against time before all of Amity Falls, her family, and the boy she loves goes up in flames.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. But very fun, very, like, whimsical. Not, like, straight up horror scary, but it is still fun because, like, you have some mysterious boy and mysterious people coming to town, and oh no, scary things happen, and you go through this season, so... It's just, you know, it's a fun book to kind of curl up with.
Yeah. I like a fairy tale. And I feel like this topic, like horror in the summer or whatever, it's really more about, like, it's subjective, you know? So I feel like, yes, that definitely fits.
I think so. The next one that I have is kind of made me think, like, summer horror movies, right, with this book. And I am so surprised that I still have not read this. I've owned it for years because it reminds me of my favorite horror movie, which is Wes Craven's New Nightmare, one of the Freddy Krueger movies, arguably the best one in the franchise. Fight me on it. And that is Curse of the Reaper by Brian McCauley.
Oh, yeah.
So this one, they say it's like Scream meets The Shining, but to me it reminds me of New Nightmare because it does kind of take the horror movie out of the movie and brings it into real life. So we're following Howard Browning, who was the lead in an 80s horror franchise called Night of the Reaper. So of course, you know, I think it's kind of like a stereotype that horror or horror actors are just like reduced to like signing autographs at like random conventions that no one goes to. So he's kind of falling into that trap. But then eventually the studio announces that they're going to reboot the series because we have no new ideas ever and let's just do a reboot.
Yeah.
So he is very upset to learn that he's not coming back or that he's replaced basically by the new heartthrob Trevor Main, and who's like a former sitcom child star who's fresh out of rehab, right? So then we have that stereotype. And so you know, Trevor's determined to stay sober and revamp his image, but then Howard on the other end does not want to let go of this character that he created. You know, this is his character. I can only imagine that it's like a Friday the 13th or, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street thing where you just have him in all these different part 75 in space and under the Arctic yeah. and all that fun stuff that happens in these movies. So he's, you know, he's refusing to let go. And as he still continues to fight to reclaim his legacy, this sinister alter ego consumes his unraveling mind, pushing him to the brink of violence. Is the method actor succumbing to a madness, or has the devilish Reaper taken on a life of its own? That just sounds fun. Yeah. Like, how do you not want
to
read that?
It's always sounded so good to me, and it sounds a lot like horror movie, or I think that's what it's called by Paul Tremblay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I did not love that one, but it's a very similar concept. Like, there was like an indie movie that was made that's like very, it's kind of like a cult following for horror fans. And the actor who played like the main character in it has, again, been going to these conventions and signing autographs or whatever until somebody decides that they're going to remake this movie.
Yeah.
And then it's told like as a story, but then it's also told in a screenplay. So you're like reading what would happen. That. In the movie, yeah. It was really interesting. I didn't love it. I think it was just, like, not the right time for me, but I forced myself to finish it anyway. But that's, it sounds a little bit like that, only yours sounds maybe a little bit more, it's funny that I say cinematic because you literally read a screenplay, but it sounds more, like, action-oriented.
Yeah. Like, and I haven't read horror movies, so I don't know. But it almost sounds like a true slasher, but like taken out of the slasher, quote unquote, because it's supposed to be real life. So I think it's going to have that kind of pacing to it, which is really fun because I love that theme of the horror movies in books. You know, what was Burn the Negative by Josh? Is it Josh Winning who did that? Because he has Heads Will Roll, that the same author.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so Burn the Negative by Josh Winning. We follow Laura Warren. What a great name. I know. That is like the perfect final girl name, Laura Warren. It's amazing. She's a journalist and she visits LA to see the set of a new streaming horror series. But while she's there, she witnesses a man jumping from a bridge and landing right behind her car. And the line is, "Here we go." She thinks it started because the series she's reporting on is a remake of a 90s horror flick, a cursed 90s horror flick that she starred in as a child. And has, like, she's been running from it, you know, for some reason. So the movie is called The Guest House, and she played a little girl with a terrifying gift to tell people how the needle man would kill them. Absolutely not yeet the child. Bye. When 8 of the cast and crew died in ways that eerily mirrored the movie's on-screen deaths, the film became a cult classic and ruined her life. So she leaves it behind, changes her name, and her accent, dyes her hair, and moves across the Atlantic. But, you know, some scripts just don't want to stay buried. And so, you know, people are dying. She's on the run with her aspiring actress sister and a jaded psychic. That sounds fun. Hoping to end the curse once and for all and to stay out of the needle man's lethal reach. Why haven't I read that either?
I was going to say, you know what? I have that upstairs and it might need to be read immediately.
Oh, gosh. I think I might need to put down, because I'm reading right now. I just got it. You know what I love? And I might get, I think people feel a weird way about this sometimes, but my Barnes & Noble frequently has books out early before release day. Mine all the time. Too. And one of those was Lisa Jewell's new one. And I am very excited for it because she said it's like her best villain yet, she thinks. And she writes really good villains that are like actually based in real life and are scary, but also she writes a certain way when she's dealing with those villains, so you know it's going to be wild. And so I'm reading that right now. Don't Let Him In, I think is what it is, but this just sounds fun. And I think it's time for horror. I'm going to a horror convention in like 3 weeks, and this is the time where I just want to indulge in
all the fun stuff.
Yeah, my best friend is so excited because a lot of the actors from Scream come to this, so she's on a mission to get her poster signed by everyone.
Best of luck to her. May the odds be ever in her favor.
She's gotten 4 of them to do it so far. And so last year was supposed to be Rose McGowan, but that was the same day Shannon Doherty died, so she canceled. But this year it's David Arquette. So we're going to go so she can get her poster.
She's
signed.
Collecting them like Infinity Stones.
She is collecting, and she only is going to need two more, but I doubt she's ever going to get Courtney Cox. I can't imagine Courtney Cox will ever come to a convention, but one can hope.
She'll have to hunt her down in a different way.
Yes, exactly. We're going to have to do some illegal stuff.
You know what that your last one, Burn the Negative, reminded me of, though? Just kind of piggybacking on horror movies in a book theme. Silver Nitrate by Silvia Moreno Garcia.
Oh my god, yes. I haven't read that yet.
So I did read that one, and it is a slow burn, which it worked for me, but it hasn't worked for everyone, like, in fairness. But you follow the main character. There's like it's a similar thing. It's like a cursed film. It's very like The Last Movie podcast.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, that's right. That's what you told me when you read it.
Yeah. And she's working with like this eccentric director, and they want to remake the movie, and it's supposed to, you know, do something.
Ooh.
And it just, like, she's having a hard time at work. She's a woman, and it's set in Mexico. It's just like, it was really well done. I love that book. I love Silvia Moreno Garcia. And so I'm just piggybacking off of you and saying, go read that.
Go read that. Well, that also brings me now then to Night Film by Marissa Pessel.
Yeah. Because
I think that also dealt with a cursed movie, cursed horror director, and like some occult stuff. And that book was so long, but it was so, so good. That one is just phenomenal.
Also on my list, but I...
Oh, you haven't read it yet?
No.
Oh my gosh, dude. It is. It's cool because it's also kind of multimedia, but it... I don't know. It's kind of like, you know what the book on my bucket list to read before I die is? And I've tried to read it 4 times now, and I can't get past.
House of Leaves. Correct. Leaf House Library, whatever
Leaf
it's called.
Library. Leave the Library. Correct. House of Leaves. I want to read that so bad. I just can't. I don't know what it is. I think anyone who reads it is a genius. I'm like, how did you crack this? Because I don't know what it is, but...
Why do I have to turn the book upside down to read this passage? What's happening?
Exactly. Why do I have to flip it in a square just to, like, read this? And I'm not lying, you guys. Like, there's pages where it's, like, written in a square format, or there's, like, only writing in one corner, or, like, down the center. It's the most wild book I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. And one day I'll get there. I hope. That would be sad if I didn't.
You can do it.
Have I talked about the remaking yet by Clay McLeod Chapman?
I don't think so.
So obviously he is very popular right now because he has done so many amazing horror books. And I say that, and the remaking is the only one I've read, even though I have a few others.
I've read two of his.
I did love this one enough to like make him still like an auto... I wouldn't say auto buy, but like I'm definitely always interested in what he's publishing. But it's kind of fun because it is like told in like a 3-act structure from like they're remaking this movie a few different times, and so it's like each segment, but he kind of positions this, it's like very meta. It's like this movie was supposed to be Scream before Scream happened, but because of this tragedy that happened, it didn't come out, so it could have done way better, but it didn't. And so you have like the actress who played one of the characters growing up, then she came back to play the villain, and then she came back to do something else. So it's just like a cycle of horror. I feel like that you just have to read it. It's more fun if you don't totally know what it is, but it is.
I do feel like most of his books, if you go in blind, like,
yes,
you can have the general idea. Like, he has one that was, like, set in the Satanic Panic era.
Which, yes, I want to read that.
I can't remember what it's called right now, but I read that one, and it was great. And I just read his last one, and I think that one is called Wake Up and Open Your Eyes.
Yes.
And that one is, like, honestly, I don't want to give anything away.
You know what's so funny? So, and I texted you about this, because I have this on audio, Wake Up and Open Your Eyes, and I remember how I told you I thought I got an early audio copy of Bury Your Bones in the Midnight Soil.
Yeah.
And I was so mad, I didn't realize it was a sneak peek, and I was like, I don't want to listen to just 2 hours of it, because what if I love it, and then I can't finish it? And so I was trying to just to pick the new audiobook because I had built it up in my mind. I was like, I'm going to walk my dog a little bit longer today, and I'm going to start it on a Sunday morning and it's going to be amazing.
This is going to be the best day of my life. And then it was, you were crushed.
And then I was so upset. I was so mad and I was trying to listen to stuff. And one of them was this one. And I definitely want to go back because it just wasn't the right time to read it because it is, I think it's going to be tough because it really starts off talking about like immigration and political views and it's like how it impacts families.
Super political. I mean, the whole book is super political and it is, it's super dark.
This next one, I don't know if this is technically fits the assignment, but I think they go on a quote unquote road trip or what I'm calling a road trip. And I think it works, even though if it's across a hellscape and they're all nuns. And the world is ending or something. I'm not too sure. I don't know what this is, guys. I just know I want to read it. And that's The Starving Saints by Caitlin Starling.
Special me.
I loved The Death of Jane Lawrence. I thought it was phenomenal. It was so good. And did you not like it, that face?
I didn't read it.
Oh, you did? Okay, I can accept that. I can accept if you haven't read it. But it's very fun. It's a, you know, Victorian ghost setting with a woman who wants more for herself, but she can't because women don't know anything because of their small little wee brains. So you can't be an accountant, and you must marry a man. And she does, but she's like, I will marry you. And it's a whole thing anyways, right? We're not talking about this book. We're talking about Starving Saints. And which also, Aardvark had another very pretty version of this one.
But I had the audio, so I didn't buy it.
You know, so I did end up, I wasn't going to, and I did end up getting it because my friend was like, hey, what if we each bought, like, a horror book, right? We each read it, we annotate it, we send it to each other, the other one reads the other's version, annotates it, and sends it back. So you kind of just have this, like, cute little traveling book of some sorts.
Yeah,
you
know? So that's cute.
That's why I got it, because I have the audio. You know, I could have done it there, but... So this one is going to be very, very weird, and I am so excited. So we're following Amar Castle. Oh, that's... No, that's just a castle. That's not the character's name. That's fun.
We're following a castle.
So, rewind... Amar Castle has been under siege for 6 months. Food is running low. There's been no sign of rescue. But just as the survivors consider deliberately thinning their number, the castle's stores are replenished. The sick are healed, and the divine figures of the Constant Lady and her saints have arrived despite the barricaded gates, offering succor in return for adoration. Never seen that word. I don't think I've seen that word ever, to be honest. Have you?
I mean, not in common language anymore. No.
Ew, this will be fun, you guys. So soon the entire castle is under the sway of their saviors, partaking in the intoxicating feast of terrible origin. The war hero Sir Voyne gives her allegiance to the Constant Lady Faucine, a disorganized, paranoid nun-turned-sorceress. I want that job. I want to be a nun and turn into a sorceress.
I don't want to be a nun, but I do want to be a sorceress.
But I just think it's so cool, like, nun-turned-sorceress. Like, that sounds part of my language, but pretty bad.
Yeah,
I agree. You know, I don't want to be a nun, but...
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her. They race to unravel the mystery of these new visitors and exonerated her experiments as their source. That sentence doesn't make sense to me right now. And in the bowels of the castle, a serving girl, Trela, is torn between her thirst for a secret vengeance against Voyne and the desperate need to escape from the horrors that are unfolding with Amor's walls. So as the castle descends into Bacchanalian madness, forgetting the massed army beyond its walls in favor of hedonistic ecstasy, these three women are only one to still see their situation for what it is, but they are not immune from the temptations of the castle's new masters or each other. And their shifting alliances and a strangled past bring violence to the surface. To save the castle and themselves would take a reimagining of who they are and reorganization of the very world itself.
It sounds dark.
It sounds dark. It sounds like it's going to be probably the weirdest thing I read this year outside of We Love You, Bunny, when that comes out here soon, which I am so excited for. Did you
ever
read
Bunny? Never read Bunny, no.
Oh, come on. I need to reread it because I read it back in 2020. It is, you need to be in the right headspace for it. And I think I might try audio this next time because Mona Awad's writing kind of reminds me of Stephen Graham Jones's in the sense that, and not the writing, the storytelling. Like, you have to be paying a lot of attention, because the way she writes can also be like, you know, you're on the normal plane right now, then you go to this weird dream sequence and you're like, why are these three men in a bar and now there's a band here and they weren't there before?
What's happening?
What is happening? Why are they offering her a deal? So it's like that, but it's like the Heathers on acid, basically.
Oh. So,
very much like, you know, those short story tropes where it's like, I can make a man and I'm going to make a man out of all these reconstituted body parts from other men that I've killed.
Sure.
Kind of like that.
Nice.
Nice. You don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, that's.
I love a Frankenstein moment, you know.
Frankenstein boyfriend. Yes.
We're having a very, like, ADHD podcast today.
I don't know what's going on. We're, like, on 80 different tangents right now, guys. We are not okay.
I just saw my vocal levels go, like, full red. Like, get back off your microphone, psychopath. So.
It's always so funny, like, watching our audio levels when I'm editing and I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, it's because Ray's got this super microphone. I need to push it away from my face. Get away.
Okay, so my last one, before I maybe go through a list of, like, random what Goodreads says, since Goodreads likes to rip us off, Into the Sublime by Kate A. Borman. This cover, when I first looked at it, it kind of reminds me of the girl from The Ring with what it looks like. But I think it kind of might be giving more of the Descent vibes. So this is a YA psychological thriller. And so the synopsis is, when the cops arrive, only a few things are clear. Four girls entered a dangerous cave. Three of them came out alive. Two of them were rushed to the hospital. And one is soaked in blood and ready to talk. Amélie Desmarais, her story begins believably enough. Four girls from a now defunct thrill-seeking group planned an epic adventure to find a lake that Colorado locals call the Sublime. Legend has it that the lake has the power to change things for those who risk and survive its cavernous depths. They each had their reasons for going. For Amélie, it was a promise kept to her beloved cousin who recently suffered a tragic accident during one of the group's dares. But as her account unwinds and the girls' personalities and motivations are drawn, things get complicated. Amélie is hardly the thrill-seeking type, and it appears she's not the only one with the ability to deceive. Worse yet, Amélie is covered in someone's blood, but whose exactly, and where's the fourth girl? Is Amélie spinning a tale to cover her guilt, or was something inexplicable waiting for the girls down there? Amélie is the only one with the answers, and she's insisting an explanation that is more horror fantasy than reality. Maybe the truth lies somewhere in between? After all, strange things inhabit dark places, and sometimes we bring the dark with us. Bum, bum, bum.
I haven't heard of that one.
I think I saw someone randomly on Bookstore, because this came out in 2022. I don't know if I've had it that entire time, but I think I saw someone talk about it, and that's why I ended up getting it, because it sounds fun.
It does sound fun. For me, the end-all be-all for summer horror, like, there is only one recommendation that I can give, and we've talked about it on this podcast 700 times, and I'm going to say it again.
And it's David
Bad. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. It's City of Brass. And that is It by Stephen King. Like, it's the epitome of summer horror. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, a group of kids who hang out during the summer and come face-to-face with the evil that dwells in their town. And I used to re-listen to it a lot, like, every summer. I've been thinking about it, doing it again, but it's very long, so you have to, it's a time commitment, and then there's just a part at the end that you pretend doesn't happen, and you move on, and
I don't know how you pretend that doesn't happen. That's why I haven't read it, to be honest. Once I heard that, I was like, you know what? I'm good.
I just don't remember that part. I go, blah, 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 skip, 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 skip.
Do a line of cocaine like Stephen King did when exactly. He probably wrote that?
Me, it, okay. Exactly. That's how I handle all my problems, Davin. Didn't you know? Okay. But yeah, that's, I have such, again, it's one of those things where, like, I read it when I was 11 and the characters are 11 and I feel like it's just ingrained in my brain as, like, what you read in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's summer horror. And then I know people talk about Summer of Night by Dan Simmons, kind of in relation to It, because it's a similar concept. It's a group of boys over the summer who, again, are forced to confront the evil in their town and whatnot. But I read that one as an adult, and I don't know. It just didn't click for me. I didn't love it.
Didn't hit the same.
Yeah.
I do need to read it because my dad has talked about it, and I know I could get it. Obviously, I think audio is the way to go because I heard the narrator is really good.
Yeah.
Which I forget who it is. I think it's someone famous. But yeah, I definitely, at one point, I will.
Someone famous.
I will read it.
Now I have to go look at, see. It's narrated by Steven Weber.
Yeah, that's who it is.
I don't know what that means. He seems to narrate a lot of books.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
What makes sense?
So he's been in a lot. He was in The Shining, Single White Female.
What? Now I have to Google his face.
The reason I recognize him, and you're gonna make fun of me, I randomly like just put on random sitcoms when I just want some background noise, and one of them is Wings.
Oh my god, I love Wings.
So it's him. It's the brother, the other one, not Joe, but Brian.
Yeah.
That's him.
I'm gonna go to Nantucket, and I love Wings.
It's really fun. I like
that
show a lot.
I also love a sitcom.
Yeah, they're the best.
That's the Nick at Night generation. Kids today could never. I'm sure they play sitcoms on Nick at Night if Nickelodeon is still a TV show.
Well, if anyone wants random sitcoms, I found out on Amazon Prime they have like the live TV options and they just have random channel themes. Like I've been rewatching Charmed and then rewatching whatever sitcoms are on. And
I've been rewatching Buffy.
That's the next one I want to do because they also have the Buffy channel. And I've watched some of it, but I haven't actually watched it all the way through. Same with Charmed. So I want to eventually do that.
Oh, I loved Charmed. I loved all that. I feel nostalgic now. I'm glad our next topic is what it is.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, get ready, guys. So I was kind of, when we were talking, Googling to see what other maybe top summer horror books are coming out. And I actually got an e-arc of this, which is called Smile for the Cameras by Miranda Smith.
I've been seeing this a lot. Yeah.
So I just kind of knew it was a horror thing, and I was like, sure, give it to me. I will take it. Now, the synopsis is, 20 years ago, Ella Winters was the it girl. She made a name for herself in Hollywood and throughout America as the sole survivor in the cult classic slasher Grad Night, which you know is such a corny but really good slasher series. But the real horror is what happened when the cameras weren't rolling, something terrible that Ella and her co-stars agreed to never speak of again. Shortly after the movie's premiere, Ella disappeared from the acting scene under the pretense of caring for her ailing mother, hoping for a quiet life out of the spotlight to ease her guilty mind. Since her mother's passing, Ella has decided to return to the silver screen, and with the cast and crew of Grad Night in the process of filming a reunion documentary, Ella has an express ticket back to Hollywood's good graces. Weighed down by the secret she's been keeping all of these years, Ella apprehensively makes the trip to the original set, a cabin in rural Tennessee, to reunite with her castmates for the first time in more than a decade. But when the actors begin to meet the same gruesome fates as the characters they originally played, falling victim to someone dressed in the Grad Knights as the Grad Knight villain, it's clear the secret is out. And now the question is, can the final girl survive one last nightmare? That sounds fun.
It sounds really good. And I've been seeing that one a lot lately.
Oh, it looks like this one's already out, you guys. So if you guys want to see it or read it, it came out June 24th.
Oh, fun. I did not. Well, maybe that's why I'm seeing it all over the place, because it just came out.
That would make sense. Yeah, this one just came out. So I need to make sure I download that before I lose it.
Airplane mode. Oh, it's an e-arc, not a...
Yeah, e-arc, not a library, which is a great tip, by the way, you guys. Not to, like, stiff the library, but airplane mode. If you haven't finished it, you'll get to keep it. You'll get to keep it. I think those are my recommendations. Are there any, can you think of, I know we talked about it a lot, right? Like, we have The Possession of Alba Diaz coming up. Cassandra Kaw's Library of Hellbore will probably be out or close to being out by the time this comes out. Have there been any new horror books that you've seen that you're like, yes, I can't wait? I think we've talked about a lot of them, to be honest, but yeah. I'm just wondering.
I feel like most of the ones that are like coming out that I'm excited about, we've definitely talked about a lot. The man who wrote Dead 11 is coming out with a new one.
Yes. Oh my god, everyone needs to read it because that one was so much fun. I loved it.
What's his name? Jimmy Giuliano?
Jimmy Giuliano's new book.
So I'm excited about that, but not really. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like we're in a vacuum, and it's like we've talked about all the books ever.
But it's just like we're so specific.
Yeah, we are very specific about it. But that's we're excited to next in 2 weeks we'll be doing our spoiler chat of the Brightlands, which I think we're gonna have a lot of feelings about, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That one's going to be a good one. If there are any horror books that you're reading in honor of Summerween, let us know, because we will always... Summer is forever. Halloween is forever.
Summer is not forever. Well, for you, it kind of is.
Yeah, it's a lot longer than I think it should be for most of us. But, you know, that's another story because I live in the desert. But let us know what horror books you're currently reading or which ones you have on your TBR that are coming out soon. Do you have anything to add before I close this out?
No. Best of luck to everyone. I was useless this episode, but I did too much last episode, so that's why.
Trying to make up for the balance.
Yeah, listening back to that, I was like, I hate myself and every word I've ever said in my entire life.
Oh my god, it was making me laugh. Like, okay, I'm just gonna go sit in his lap while he puts his tongue down my throat. It's just the funniest episode ever to listen to. But we will be back in 2 weeks, so stay tuned. You can follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot on Instagram, and you can find our personal Bookstagram handles in the show notes below. We will see you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
Bye.